Hollywood's Open House. In cooperation with the nation's foremost screen publication, Motion Picture Magazine. Starring Enric Madriguera, his violin and his orchestra, the stage and screen comedy star Mary Wicks, the singing star Harry Cool, and yours truly, Jim Amici. And our open house guests, two of Hollywood's finest dramatic stars, Bonita Granville and Walter Abel. This is your host, Jim Amici, bidding you welcome to Hollywood's Open House and opening the guest book and calling the roll of our guests. First call is for Bonita Granville and Walter Abel, our Hollywood guests, who are marked present with an unusual dramatic story. As Mary Wicks, with a liberal helping of laughter and wit, as Harry Cool, with romantic ballads, and right now, as our star maestro, Enric Madriguera, with Digga Digga Doo. Lady with a past of laughter, mirth, and joy. You know her as the nurse, and now Voyager, you'll never forget her as the nurse and the man who came to dinner. Now you'll meet her in person, Miss Mary Wicks. Welcome, a thousand welcomes to Hollywood's Open House, Mary.
Thank you, Jim.
Look, Mary, tell us something about your career in Hollywood. How'd you feel the first time you faced a movie camera?
Nervous.
How'd your scenes look on the screen?
Well, got past the cutting room.
Oh, yes, the cutting room.
Yep, that's where they accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and cut out the messes in between.
Well, Mary, I thought you were great, really great as the nurse and the man who came to dinner.
Oh, why, thanks, sir. I really took that role seriously.
Did you ever do any real nursing?
Oh, sure, but I only took patients who were over 90 years of age with no living relatives and millionaires.
Oh, a practical nurse, hmm?
Mm-hmm. I'm also a specialist in anesthetics.
A local?
No, vocal. I talk them deaf, dumb, and blind. Oh, but listen, medical science is a wonderful thing. Well, you see this little pill? It'll cure laryngitis, tonsillitis, and St. Vitus.
Dance?
Oh, have we time?
Let's get back to the man who came to dinner. Tell me, how'd you find Money Woolley?
Well, I just lifted up his beard, and there he was.
Oh, and Mary, didn't you do a picture with Frank Sinatra?
Oh, sure. The big income tax picture.
Income tax picture?
Higher and higher. But poor Frankie, he's so thin. Three glasses of red lemonade, and he looks like a thermometer.
Say, Mary, working with Sinatra, I'll bet your nursing experience came in pretty handy.
It certainly did. Why, one day Frankie told me he was afraid his heart was being affected by a big business worry.
Oh?
Yeah, I listened, and sure enough, Frankie's heart was going bing, 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 bing. Oh, but I love Hollywood. You know, at a party one night, I met a sailor who'd been out on one of the Pacific Islands, and he said I reminded him of something very lovely he'd seen there. Hey, what is a bazooka?
Mary, I understand you're getting married. Where'd you meet your fiancé?
Oh, it was lovely. I met him at a wonderful party at the Hollywood Canteen where I was a hostess. Oh, it was dreamy. I went over to him and I said, would you like a warm cookie? And he said, no, thank you. I've already got a date.
But, Mary, now that you're getting married, do you have any good stills?
Stills? Oh, no, not since the revenueers got me 2 years ago. But I can always set it up.
Oh, now, Mary, I'm talking about camera photo stills.
Oh, camera stills. No, I haven't any. I had some pictures taken, but no prints were made.
Oh, how come?
Well, the photographer was afraid to go into the dark room alone with them.
Hollywood's Memory Lane. From the past of Hollywood have come many stories, both strange and wonderful. But today, the story chosen by the editors of Motion Picture Magazine for our stars Benita Granville and Walter Abel perhaps surpasses even Hollywood's strangest fancy. So, with pleasure and anticipation, we present Benita Granville and Walter Abel in The Cursed Concerto, with yours truly, Jim Amici.
It was the night of the great concert, the night when once again the vast music hall resounded with the most famous composition of the great maestro, his own concerto in A minor. So the hall was filled overflowing, filled partly by people who came to hear the sublime music, partly by people who came to see the man himself, the man about whom so many mysterious and fascinating rumors circulated. He sat there upon the stage, the center of interest for 1,000 eyes, and he played. And in all that vast hall, there was not a sound but that of the magic melody which flowed from the soul of the artist and poured forth from the piano in tones both delicate and mighty. Not far from the stage, there sat a young woman, motionless. Not a single subtle variation escaped her, nor did her deep, dark eyes waver even for a moment. Yet it was not the fingers of the player that she watched, but his face. The young man who sat at her side observed her questioningly from time to time. He frowned slightly and shifted nervously in his chair. He seemed pitifully anxious for the concert to end.
Let's leave now before the aisles get too crowded.
No, Frank. I just want to sit here for a moment.
But everyone's leaving.
Frank, did you see his eyes as he played the concerto? Did you see how bright and dark they were? As though they were watching and waiting.
Oh, it was your imagination.
No, I saw it, I tell you. Oh, Frank, why must he look so weary, so tired? And his eyes, they're so tortured. As though they look on only suffering and agony.
Sally, will you please stop that morbid thinking?
Morbid thinking? You talk like that because you don't know what music can mean to a man like that. To be afraid of the masterpiece you've created.
Oh, that's romantic nonsense. I'm telling you, it's just your own imagination.
Oh, it is. It's my imagination. I suppose I haven't seen it happen. 3 times. Why, the first time I heard him play the concerto, he made the music sound like an unearthly hymn. He was so happy, And we who listened to him, we knew he loved it, and we were happy with him. How we cheered and applauded as he stood there on the stage and bowed and smiled at us. And then suddenly his face turned white. The smile froze to a dreadful mask of horror and fear, as though he knew what must happen before it did happen. And then everyone knew. Everyone knew and saw it.
Mother! Mother! What is it? Mother!
A doctor, please. Is there a doctor here?
Someone help her. Please help her. She's fainted.
No. No, she hasn't fainted. This woman is dead.
Yet it seems simple. A woman in the balcony had an attack and died.
Sally, please, let's go. Everyone's left.
After all, what's so strange about a woman having an attack and dying? It could happen anywhere. What could the concerto have to do with it? But when it happened the second time, a man sitting right in the front row, and the third time...
Well, it was simply a coincidence.
Oh, yes, a coincidence. Yes. That's why everyone calls it the cursed concerto. That's why he dare not play his own beautiful music.
Well, he played it tonight and nothing happened.
How would you understand?
Oh, no, of course, I couldn't understand. I'm not a delicate, sensitive creature like you are. I don't create fantastic stories and believe in ridiculous superstitions. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly understand. Now, listen, Sally, I've had about enough of this.
Frank, he's back. He's come back. I must go to him. I must speak to him.
Sally, come back here. You don't even know the man. Sally, let him alone.
I must talk to him. I must tell him not to worry anymore. But, Maestro.
Yes?
I just wanted to tell you, to ask you not to worry.
Thank you, my dear.
And not to be sad.
But I'm not sad. Now.
You played the concerto tonight. Nothing happened.
Yes, nothing happened.
Now you can play it all the time.
Tell me, what do you think of when you hear that concerto?
I think of peace and happiness and love.
All that is in the concerto?
Sally, please come away now. Pardon us, Maestro, we just...
Frank, how can you come barging in like this?
Well, I just want you to come home now.
Maestro, this is Frank Rogers.
How do you do?
How do you do? I have a favor to ask of you, both of you. It's a very simple request. I would like you to come and have a little late supper with me.
Well,
you mean now?
Yes, right now.
Why, of course we'll come. We'd be delighted.
Well, Sally, you...
Now, please, won't you? It's rather important to me.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. We'll be glad to go.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll go to Antonio's, and we will really celebrate.
Celebrate? Oh, yes. We'll celebrate because you're released now. Because you're free.
Yes, because I'm released. Because at last I'm free. Come along, both of you.
In just a moment, we'll return to Bonita Granville, Walter Abel, and Jim Amici in The Cursed Concerto. And now, back to The Cursed Concerto, starring Walter Abel and Bonita Granville with Jim Amici.
This is so nice. No one else here. Do you like to be alone, to dream, to hear the music that's always inside you, to get away from the ugly sounds of the world?
Sometimes.
I like to be alone, always.
Really? And you, Frank?
Oh, Frank doesn't understand these things.
No, poor Frank doesn't understand these flights of fancy. Well, maybe I don't, but there are a few other things I do understand.
And what is that?
I understand that to live is to love. and to see that love reflected in the eyes of the person you love. I understand. Oh, you just sound silly.
Frank's different than we are, Maestro.
Yes, you bet I am. And this may not be the time nor the place to say it, but I'm getting awfully fed up with all this artistic nonsense. It's all just a desperate attempt to be different from other people. It's all a fake. And if it doesn't stop, I... Sally, I'm going to...
You're going to what?
Sally.
Yes?
You remind me of someone.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
That's what I'm going to tell you. You know who you remind me of?
Why, no.
Myself.
You?
Yes, me. Tell me, in all the world, what is most important to you?
Why?
I can answer that. Dreaming, music, and the feeling that such things are the only important things in the world.
Is that true, Sally?
Well, I...
Yes, yes, it is true. I know it is. Because that's the reason you're like I once was. You live in a dream world, Sally, and you're dreaming of the wrong thing.
No, no.
Sally, my dear, you love the concerto, don't you?
Very much.
Do you know what the concerto really is?
Well, no, I...
It's a very tragic thing. My concerto is a love song, which was sung too late.
A love song?
Once, long ago, I had to make a choice, Sally. I think it's the choice you now face, and I faced it as you do, without understanding, without knowledge. That choice was between my dream world, my music, and my love. But there was no doubt in my mind. I chose music.
But music is your whole life.
So I thought, but you see, I have learned that only one thing in the world is worthy of a person's whole life. Only love. Yes, Sally, I learned, but I learned too late. For love is unforgiving. It wouldn't come back to me. It comes back to no one. So I poured into my concerto all the depth of feeling, all the emotions, all the spirit that really belonged to my love. I had no love to give it to, so I gave it to the thing which had robbed me of love. I gave it to music. And still love is a jealous thing and gives no peace to those who reject it. And it set its curse even on my music. It turned my concerto into the cursed concerto.
Why, that's not possible.
Yes, Sally, it is possible. When love is offered, seize it, treasure it, care for it tenderly. That is the thing you must live for. Do you understand?
I understand.
And will you remember this? Always?
Yes, always.
Maestro, would you play it for us just once more?
Of course I'll play it. Once more.
Frank.
Maestro, what is it?
I can play no more.
Are you ill?
No, no, I'm not ill, but I must leave now.
Well, we'll take you home.
Yes. I think I'd like to go home now.
Come on, Sally.
I'm all right now. We'll just walk a little way and then...
Oh, how late it is. Midnight already.
Paper, morning paper, get your paper.
Oh, wait here a minute. I'll run over there and get a paper.
All right, we'll wait.
Be back in a minute.
Maestro, if I knew how, I'd like to thank you.
You know what the only thanks you can give me are?
Yes. To hold my love, to cherish it. Oh, this has been a wonderful evening. And now we all three can be happy and content.
Of course. Now we can be happy, content.
Sally, come over here a minute.
Excuse me, Maestro. We'll both be right back. What do you want, Frank?
Look, here in the paper.
Wait.
The bottom of the first page.
Hmm? Where? Frank. What a dreadful mistake. What? Oh, we have to show this to the maestro. Maestro? Maestro? Where is he, Frank?
Maestro? Maestro?
Oh, he's gone.
Boy.
Yeah?
Did you see the gentleman who was with us leave?
Huh? What gentleman?
The one that was standing there in the corner.
Gee, mister, I didn't see no guy there.
Oh, but you must have. We just walked down the street together.
Look, I seen you two coming out of Tony's, but there wasn't no other guy with you.
No one with us?
No, just you two.
But we walked down the street with him. I know we...
Look, lady, I ain't calling you no liar. I'm just saying I didn't see the guy with you.
Maestro! Maestro!
Sally, dear, please.
Well, he must be here, Frank. I've got to find him. Maestro! Maestro, where are you? Where are you?
Hey, mister, you better go after her. She's kind of dead all of a sudden.
Yes, Sally. Sally, wait for me.
Gee, what do you suppose hit her?
Hey, son, how about a paper?
Oh, sure, excuse me.
Anything new, Joe?
Say, what do you know about this?
What?
You know that concert we heard tonight?
Of course.
Listen to this. Right here on the front page. One of the most beloved and honored artists of the world became tonight the latest victim of one of the strangest series of events ever known to the musical world. Immediately after tonight's performance of the Concerto in A Minor, a composition long known as the Cursed Concerto, because of the series of deaths associated with its playing, the maestro himself fell ill. And within 5 minutes after reaching his dressing room backstage, fell dead. So ends one of the strangest incidents known to the world of music and science.
Hill and Walter Abel. We're going to want you back with us in a few minutes. At this moment, however, we've a date in the music room as the singing star of Hollywood's open house, our own Harry Cool, steps in to offer, in a rhythmic way, some excellent advice. Says Harry, there must be a way.
There must be a way to help me forget that we're through. There must be a way to stop me from dreaming of you. There must be a star in the sky that isn't reflecting yours. I just don't know how to disguise how much I miss you. There must be a song that doesn't remind me of you. There must be a kiss to thrill me like yours used to do. I look for a way to be happy, happy with somebody new. Oh, there must be a way, but I can't find the way without you. There must be a kiss to thrill me like yours used to do. Look for a way to be happy, happy with somebody new. Oh, there must be a way, but I can't find the way without you.
Doesn't Harry Cool sing beautifully?
Yeah, but he's just another man. Men make me so tired.
That's your fault. You should stop running after them. Oh, Mary, you know, you shouldn't have any trouble getting a boyfriend. With all those men you meet, why, They say that nurses always get their man.
Yeah, but all those guys aren't Walter Abel, you know.
Oh, you like Walter, do you, Mary?
Gimme.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let's see what I can do. Walter?
Yeah, what's up, Jim?
We were just wondering if you've ever had any medical troubles.
Any medical troubles? Oh, well, I guess you could call what I had medical troubles.
No, Walter, tell us all about it.
Oh, it was nothing, really. You see, I started with angina pectoris, and then I got arteriosclerosis.
Huh? Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I was just recovering from these, and I got tubercular double pneumonia.
Walter, how terrible.
It was terrific. Then they gave me hypodermic. And appendicitis was followed by tonsillectomy.
Why, I never heard of such a thing.
These gave way to aphasia and hypertrophic cirrhosis. I completely lost my memory for a while, but I know I had diabetes, gastritis, rheumatism, and neuritis.
But, Walter, how did you get through all that?
I'll never know. It was the toughest spelling test I ever had.
After that, Walter, I think we'd better get out of here. Come on. Good night, everybody.
Is something wrong? Oh, well, I tried anyway. So long, everyone.
Anita Granville, Walter Abel, and Mary Wicks. It's a fond farewell from Hollywood's Open House until we see you again soon. So, with Montveguer's own farewell signature, adios, this visit to Hollywood's Open House comes to an end. Hollywood's Open House is produced in cooperation with the nation's foremost screen publication, Motion Picture Magazine, and is written by Lee Shane with special music composed by Jack Belasco. The program is produced under the direction of Ray Green. This is Jim Amici inviting you to listen to Hollywood's Open House at this same time next week. Walter Abel is currently appearing with Joan Fontaine in the Affairs of Season.